Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a two-bit party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we can find to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. For only love can come to him.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket line and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You, yes, you are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And as usual, we have wonderful guests on our show today, like we always do, somebody special, somebody that has something that can educate us, that can help us, that can lift us up. We talk about civil rights because this is a civil rights. You don't know what people went through for you to have your rights. You don't know how many people died to have the right to vote. Do you know how many people lost their lives for the civil rights bill to be passed by Dr. Martin Luther King? And don't forget all the wonderful people who helped pave the way for us all to be where we are today. It didn't just happen overnight. It was a struggle, and the struggle is alive and well, even to this day. We are still fighting for justice and equality. But either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. On this beautiful Monday morning, July 31st, 2023, yes, it's going quick. Next thing you know, it's going to be January 2024. So all I'm saying is get your ducks in a row, dot your I's and cross your T's, because time is going fast. I mean, we're living in some perilous times. Speaking of perilous, they say that there's another disease that goes along with the COVID-19 or the pestilence-19, I call it. So we better still be careful, because COVID is still alive and well. I just read a long article that the CDC says that the COVID has another part to it that's trying to slip into the system right now. We were caught by COVID by complete surprise. Nobody knew. Nobody even had an inkling of a thought that COVID would kill millions of people around the entire world. But now the reality has set in. And when you can't go out and hug your loved one, when you can't go to the hospital and see your loved one on their final deathbed, that lets you know COVID is real. When you see bodies stacked up in the hospital and people on the streets are wearing masks and nobody can touch each other or hug each other or talk to each other, you know it is real. It is not fake. It's real. And so everything is going on, the climate changing, the heat is up to, like, in Death Valley, 130 degrees on a regular day, you know something is really, truly going on. And I don't think too many human beings can go through a lot of heat. I mean, and now it's hurricane season. It's tornado season. So all I'm saying is be aware, be educated. If you don't have a first aid kit and you never had a first aid kit, you need to get one. And let me just share just a few things about it, and we're going to talk about some our guests and everything else and our co-producers and co-hosts of the show. First of all, you need a first aid kit. Let me tell you what you need to have in there. You need to have a flashlight, a good working flashlight, not one of those little 99-cent flashlights. You need a good one. You need Band-Aids. You need Betadine. You need alcohol. You need peroxide. You need some snack bars, you know, like protein bars, you know, at least a box of protein bars in there. You need gauze. You actually need a change of clothes in there, too, just in case you have to get out and run. It's an earthquake or a hurricane or a tornado, and you don't have time to grab all your stuff. At least you can grab your first aid bag, which you should have prepared at all times. An extra pair of shoes, a face towel, a bath towel, all the necessities that you will need along the way. You should have water inside of that bag, because you can go without everything else, but you definitely cannot go without water. You need water to survive. When I worked at Hurricane Katrina, when I volunteered with Stevie Wonder's Caravan of Love, we took thousands of bottles of water, and we took lots of the EBT cards with $300 on there, and we passed them out to people. We helped clean up New Orleans. We went to the Superdome. It was a sight to see. But I said all that to say this. If you get your first aid kit, and you can also call around, you can go online and find out, are there any, you know, go to Big Five, you can get a first aid kit. Go to Target, you can get a first aid kit. But you need to have your first aid kit ready, and you always need to be prepared and ready for whatever's going to take place. This is not going to get better overnight. It's going to get a little bit worse, but we, the people, can handle our situations. Welcome to the show. Listen, if you want to dial into the show and listen to our show right now, you dial 646-787-8064. You dial 646-787-8064. And please tell 10 of your friends right now. Tell your other buddies, tell your church members, your family members, and everybody to tune into the show. Good morning, Gloria Freeman. Hey, Auntie Gloria, all the way out there in Virginia. Hey, welcome to Facebook Live. Now, I gave you the number. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, it's Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. Now, if you want to join us on Blog Talk Radio, and you can see the pictures of our guests, you can see the pictures of our co-producers and co-hosts, you go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. Write that down. blogtalkradio.com, and then on the search you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S. That's right, on the search you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S. Or if I sent you the show, all you got to do is just click on it right there, and it's going to go right to the show, and you'll be able to see the pictures going through and all that. Just give it time to boot up, and it'll boot right up, and you will. Now, remember, on Facebook Live is Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. You can join me on there right now. If you have the radio on and the Facebook Live, you got to turn one of them down. Probably you want to turn Facebook Live down or whichever one you're not going to be talking on. Again, if you want to call into the show, and I'm sure you'll want to call in. I see the phones lighting up right now. I see the, our guest in the queue, too. Hey, Ms. Daniels, how are you on Facebook Live? Good morning, Mr. Chandra Daniels. Welcome to the show. It's an honor and a pleasure beyond words to have you on with us. Again, please tag 10 people. Tag 10 people right now and let them know we are live. The number to the show is 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you right in the queue. Okay, without further ado, I want to get in our co-producers, and we have a very special guest coming on our show this morning. All I can say is this young lady is a outstanding young lady, and I'm going to allow that to speak for itself. And also, too, I'm going to give you our two topics. One of our topics is before I give you our two topics, I just want to do an update on I don't want to keep talking about this young lady, but I have to. Carly Russell is her name. Carly Russell, the young lady who says she saw a baby running across the highway, and then come to find out she showed up at her home a couple of days later, barely in clothes, with just her socks on, and she stuck to that story until all these different entities of, hey, Cousin V, how are you? Welcome to the show, Cousin V, all the way from Florida. Good morning. She showed up at home. She went through the investigation process. They analyzed her in the hospital. All these different entities of government was involved, the U.S. Marshals, the Justice Department, the FBI, the Alabama Police, who knows who else, the sheriffs, and the community. The community members were involved, and they took up a GoFundMe page where they raised over $65,000. Well, anyway, she finally told the truth and said she was lying. And, you know, that hurt everybody. It hurt me because I really thought she was lost and missing, and we're really praying, and God, please let her be found. Yes, she was found, and I was happy about that. But the lying part was very, you discredit not only yourself, but you discredit a whole lot of people who was looking forward to finding you alive, healthy, and well, which you were found, but found with a lie. So now they're charging her with two major misdemeanors, which is she could serve up to 2 years in jail, and she has to pay restitution. I don't know how much the restitution is. I'm just giving you the update on Carly Russell, and hopefully we won't be, she'll go on I don't know whose talk show, but she needs to go on somebody's talk show, and she needs to apologize to the whole wide world, because this story went around the world. It was in other countries. Everybody was paying attention to the story. And it's so sad that, she got all of our attention and everybody's involved and everybody wants to save her. Come to find out it was a hoax. You know what my parents told me a long time ago? Don't cry wolf. Do not cry wolf, because if you have a real emergency situation and you cry wolf, nobody's coming. So now for other people that are missing, like a few other articles that I've been reading about, they're not giving that the attention that it deserves based on, hey, R.D. Smith, how are you? Welcome to the show, R.D. Smith. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have you on. But nobody is going to rush out and help people who are missing now, because Carly Russell made it into a fabricated, discombobulated situation. That's what she did. Okay, we're going to leave her right there. I just wanted to give you an update. And, okay, remember last week we talked about fires. Oh, yeah, Chandra Daniels on Facebook Live said, wow, that's something, because now people won't be able to trust her anymore because of her lying. That's terrible. I agree with you, Chandra Daniels, on Facebook Live. Chandra Daniels, you hit the nail on the head. No one will trust her again. If she says she's going to the store, they're going to think she's going to the moon, because Cousin V says, okay. All right, amen. We're looking forward to the sports report today on our show. I see everybody in the queue. Let's get in. First of all, before we get our special guest in, I want to give you the topic, our first topic, and then we're going to get our guest in. Our first topic is women in the military changing the face of the armed forces, doing an outstanding and excellent, superb job. Our guest is Petty Officer First Class Sash Freeman. So let's get her in the studio right now. Let's make sure we hold on. Okay. Good morning, Petty Officer First Class Freeman. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fantastic as usual.
It's an honor and a pleasure beyond words to have you on this morning. And before, now I want you to hold that thought before we do our total introduction. We're going to allow you to introduce yourself, tell us all about yourself, and then, but before I do that, I want to get in our co-producers, and let's get in Clarence M. Allen. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Clarence M. Allen. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning to our special guest, Sash Freeman, First Class Petty Officer of the United States Navy. Good morning to all the panelists who are coming on behind me, but especially good morning to all our wonderful listeners, our followers, those who share this show. I want to be just plain blunt about this, how grateful and thankful I am to be a co-host, co-producer on this show every Monday morning. Because Pastor Eddie Jones produces the world's greatest Monday morning radio show on Monday morning. It don't get no better than this. We have a person, a special guest, who is serving in the armed forces right now, protecting these United States of America, to make sure we all live in safety, live in peace, and live in freedom with harmony wherever we may go. So thank you for your service, Sash Freeman, First Class Petty Officer, Sash Freeman. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me once again, Pastor Eddie.
Hey, man, it's an honor and a pleasure. Sash, did you want to say something back to Clarence this morning? You want to say good morning?
Oh, good morning, Clint. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be on here. I've never really done anything like this before, so hopefully it goes smoothly.
Oh, it's going to go very smoothly. You're such a you're good. You're doing a wonderful job. Let's get in our real professor, Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning, the regulator, and good morning to our wonderful guest, Petty Officer Sash Freeman. I second the motion, as the regulator has said it so well. This is the Blog Talk, best Blog Talk radio program, where we not only talk about the issues, but we bring on wonderful guests like our guest, Petty Officer Sash Freeman, as well as show the mercy and grace of God and how he's worked in her life, but in all of our lives, as an example of his wonderful, wonderful mercy that he gives to us. So with that, good morning, good morning, good morning to everyone.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
That's
without further ado, and let's get in
regulator.
Good Vera Jones. Let's get in Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, on our show. Good morning, Vera. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie. I am wonderful. Just finished a bike ride, so I'm feeling great. Good morning to the co-host, the special guest, Sash. Welcome to the show, and I want to say happy birthday today to Cousin Angela.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And everyone say good morning to Vera Jones, Dr. Granny V. Amen. Good morning.
Dr. Granny V. Good
morning.
Morning.
The doctor's in the house.
Now, last but not least, let's get into Lana Jones, my daughter, Talana Jones, who does Words of Wisdom on our show. Good morning, Talana. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Who those that word to tell shall be the head, in Jesus' name. Good morning, everybody. I am blessed to wake up this morning, and I am so glad to be on the show today with all of our co-producers. Dad, good morning. Good morning to Professor Wayne. Good morning, Clarence. Good morning to my butterfly, Dr. Granny B. Good morning to all of Facebook. Good morning to everybody listening who has called in. Good morning. God bless you. Happy Monday. And I pray everybody have a wonderful week.
Well, thank you. Now, everybody on the show, please say hello to Petty Officer Sash Freeman, everybody, so she can say good morning to us, too.
Good morning, Sash.
Good morning, Petty Officer Sash Freeman. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Good morning, Tamana.
Thank you for having me again.
Now, it's an honor and a pleasure beyond words, and I know you can't see me, but I'm saluting you right now. And thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Now, Clarence, our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen, served in the Navy. I served in the United States Army, and it's an honor and a pleasure to serve our country. I just want to share something with before we go into our interview with you. I did some research on the jobs that women have in the military, and I just want to share a few of them. First of all, there is a large percentage of women in the military, in the armed forces, and have been for many, many years that have worked in a lot of different areas. Driver, culinary specialist, mass communication specialist, construction mechanic, electronic technician, air traffic controller, legal man, explosive ordnance, disposal technician, pilot, helicopter, aircraft, and fighter, intelligence specialist, and personal and administration, intelligence, infantry, logistics, communication. Now, when you say infantry is like on the front line, you know, those are the soldiers, and the women are there in infantry as well. And that's just not all the jobs they do. And so we want to focus on the wonderful jobs, survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, explosive ordnance, disposal, security forces, military police. The list goes on and on and on. Of the different wonderful things that women are bringing to the military, that women are serving in the military, and they basically do just the same job as the men. So with that being said, our super special guest today is Petty Officer Sash Freeman, who is in the Navy. And so tell us about yourself, tell us about your job in the military, what's your MOS, And what are your goals? Please, without further ado, take the floor, Chief Petty Officer, First Class, Sash Freeman. Go right ahead.
Yes, hello. So my name is Sash. I am from Tucson, Arizona. I've been in the Navy for 7 years this past June. I made rank, actually. I put on the pay grade E6, made rank Petty Officer First Class on the same date that I went to boot camp 7 years ago. So that was quite the story to be able to tell my family. And right now I'm currently serving in Oceanside, California on the Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. But before that, I was on the ship USS Pearl Harbor for 5 years. It's an amphibious ship called an LSD, dock landing ship. And from there, I did one deployment over to the Middle East and stopped in a few places along the way, like Jebel Ali. And then we stopped in Goa, India, went to Hawaii, Singapore, all those really cool places.
Wow, you have been real busy for the last 7 years. Tell us the name of your ship again. Yeah, let's give her a big hand, you guys. Come on, let's give her a big hand. Come on. Okay. Yeah, we're giving you a big hand. Wow. Now, tell us the name of your ship again. Thank you. And your ship, did you have, like, airplanes on the ship? Was it a Navy fighter? What type of ship was it? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Sure. So its name was USS Pearl Harbor. It was a ship raised in commemoration of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in World War II. There's actually quite a story behind it. Nobody wanted a ship built after that event because, you know, the United States saw it as a loss, you know, in the Battle of World War II. But the survivors of the Pearl Harbor attack really insisted and fought for it, and they did everything they could to get something to commemorate what happened and that there are survivors, and that the Japanese didn't win that battle. So they did end up raising the ship USS Pearl Harbor out of it. And it is an amphibious ship called a dock landing ship. It's LSD-52, if you want to look at pictures of it. And, yeah, so we can land helicopters on our flight deck, but nothing much bigger than that. We can't land, like, fixed-wing, like, jets or airplanes or anything like that. But we do helicopter operations a lot. But our main meat and potatoes is amphibious operations. So if you remember during the Normandy invasion in World War II, how they were sending boats of, like, the infantrymen and everything from the ship to the shore to storm the beach of Normandy, the ship I was on was the ship that would send out those craft to go do ship-to-shore movements.
Wow. I'm looking at the USS Pearl Harbor right now as we speak. And it is a amazing ship. It's pretty big. How many? Just out of curiosity, do you guys carry weapons?
Yeah, I mean, just the basic, you know, small arms weapons, so like rifles and handguns to stand watch and everything like that.
Yes. And so, being in the United States Navy, what's your MOS? What is your job in the Navy? What do you do?
Sure. So in the Navy, it's called a RATE, and I am an operations specialist. So the best example I give to people is if you've ever seen the movie Battleship with the celebrity Rihanna in it, how she's, like, shooting guns and everything from that room that's lit with blue light. Or in what was the movie, Captain Phillips, when the SEALs get onto the ship and they go into that room that's blue lit, that's where I work at. It's called Combat Information Center. And it's where we take in all the information of everything from around us, whether it's coming from other ships, you know, helicopters or airplanes or anything like that, like communications. That's where our radars are. That's where all of our sensors are, so we can see the environment around us, have situational awareness. We take in all that raw information. We break it down into its essential components, and we disseminate it to the people that need to know.
Wow, that is – can we give her another hand, you guys? Let's give her another hand. That's a big job. That's a big job. Wow. Man, that's – wow. I just for a moment, I'd like to get Clarence M. Allen on the line, because he, too, was on a major naval ship like you were. And I wanted to hear how he feels about hearing about you being on the ship. Clarence M. Allen, please, brother, take the floor. What would you like to share with Chief Petty Officer First Class Sash Freeman? Go right ahead.
Yes, First Class Petty Officer Sash Freeman. First, let me thank you for your service. And I do have a question before I mention my small experience in the United States Navy. And my question is, shell back or polywog?
Oh, I'm a shell back, of course.
All right, congratulations. And to all our listeners, I ask that question because it tells where you've been. When you become a shell back, that means your ship has crossed the equator and you go through initiation ceremony to come from a polywog and become a shell back, and then we have the golden shell back, and then I think it's one called the dragon something. It's been a while. But anyway, my first ship was aboard the USS Guadalcanal LPH-7, which was also an amphibious ship, amphibious helo landing copter ship. And we carried a Marine Helo Squadron plus 3,200 ground troop Marines. Then my second ship was the USS Constellation CV-64 aircraft carrier, which was based out of North Island in San Diego. Now, we just had Fleet Week back in May, and I went aboard, and I apologize, I don't remember the ship's name, but I went aboard an LSD. And let me tell you, the ship is much larger than it looks when you go aboard. I saw the hovercraft, which carried the Marines to shore, and they get up 20, 30 knots, if I'm not mistaken. They float on water, and they just move. And so I did have a chance to tour an LSD. But once again, operation specialist, and you vividly illustrating us your job status and title. And I was an aviation bosun mate fuel, so I worked on the flight deck and also in the pump room. We made sure all aircraft got sediment-free, water-free, clean fuel to those aircraft for them to fly. So once again, I commend you on your service. I exited as a second-class petty officer, so, you know, I hope you don't pull too much rank on me during this show.
Well, thank you
Sasha,
very much
you like
for
to
your
say
service. You have quite a story to tell.
Wow. So, well, now to everybody who's just now coming on, where our interview is with a young lady who's in the Navy who served for 7 years. Her ship is the USS Pearl Harbor. Her name is Chief Petty Officer First Class Sasha Freeman. She's our guest. And so, Sasha, being that you're serving in there, and we talked about women that are doing great things in the military, what made you want to get into the military and serve in the armed forces?
The story is actually kind of crazy, and this is why I firmly believe that this is a path God has set me on. Because I did not intend to join at first. I was on the road to get a full scholarship to my dream college and everything like that. And my senior year of high school, last class of the year, my report card came out, and I got a disqualifying grade for my full ride scholarship. And that happened to almost everybody in the class, because for our final grade, our final exam, our teacher was retiring that year, and she ended up just not grading them, but she put the assignment into the system, but since she didn't end up grading them, almost everybody dropped down by a whole letter grade, if not close. So with that, it disqualified me from going to my dream college and getting the full ride scholarship. And I didn't want to go to college unless I was, you know, going to have a full ride scholarship or enough tuition assistance to pay for it, because I didn't want to be in debt. So a bunch of my girlfriends that were on the basketball team, two or three of them ended up joining into the Navy, into the delayed entry program. So basically, the Navy just holds you until you graduate high school, and then you go to boot camp. And they're telling me that I should do it. And I wasn't the biggest fan of the idea at first. I was like, I'm going to try maybe the Army, because I feel like that would be, you know, just a little bit cooler of an experience, you know. But when I went to the recruiting station for the Army, I didn't really, vibe, you know, with the recruiter was telling me. I didn't really think that they were going to be able to get me what I wanted. And my grandpa, who's in the Air Force for a really long time, he told me to talk to the Navy before I make a decision. So I honored his wishes and went to talk to the Navy, and I actually loved everything that they were telling me, all the jobs they could offer me and everything like that. And that's from there, that day, I basically chose to join the Navy, and I've been in ever since, and I don't regret that decision. I 100% believe that this is the path God has set me on.
Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That is an amazing story. And with that being said, we're going to go to my daughter, Talana Jones. Talana Jones, do you have a question or a statement for Chief Petty Officer First Class Sasha Freeman? Go ahead, Talana, take the floor.
No questions. I just want to say thank you for your service and for coming on our show to share the magnificence of what it means to be able to serve, to show our show that it is a privilege and an honor. And I just thank you. I don't know much about being in the service, but listening to you, I'm learning more. And I am grateful for your for the time you took out to be here today. So just thank you for your service. God bless you, and I salute you.
Amen. Amen. Did you want to respond?
Thank you so much for your time, I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. I want to go to Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, on our show. She does health and wellness on our show. That's her segment. Vera, do you have a question or a statement for Chief Petty Officer First Class Sasha Freeman? Go right ahead, Vera. Take the floor.
Yes, Sash. I wanted to ask you, what are your plans later? Do you plan to retire in the service that you're in? And also, I wanted to thank you. I'm really impressed just hearing your voice and what you have done to serve not just our community, but our country. So I just want to say thank you.
Sash, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. She was pretty broken up in it. Did she have a question?
Oh, yeah. Her question was, what do you want to do, like, from this point on in the military? Do you want to make a career out of it, or, you know, what do you want to do next?
Oh, I'm completely open to whatever plan God has for me at this point. I do have my own idea of what I want. This contract for me ends in January of 2025, and my plan is to go into the reserve and move up to the Pacific Northwest, you know, to start a family and settle down, get into a new career and everything like that. But of course, if, you know, God's plan is something completely different, like staying active duty or anything like that, then, you know, I believe he's going to show me the way. And, I'm really open for whatever he has for me, but I do hope that it is not going back to a shift. That's a very stressful life, and it's definitely for a certain kind of person, you know, to be able to be on a ship for that long, at that long period of time. But, definitely right now I do plan on going reserves, probably staying in for a good amount of time in the reserves. Like I said, I'm open for really anything right now.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know what, Vera? I don't know if your phone's on speaker, but it's going in and out. It's kind of like when you start talking, it goes really, really low and we can't hear you. So I don't know if it's on speaker or off speaker, but just wanted to let you know because she couldn't hear your full question. But also, Chief Petty Officer, go right ahead, Vera. Go ahead.
I said, okay, thank you. I hear a lot of feedback. Whenever anyone is speaking, I hear a lot of feedback.
Oh, okay. How about everybody else? Clarence, Professor Reams, Sash, I mean, does it seem like it's coming in clear to you guys? Can you hear me okay, everybody?
Yes.
We can hear you,
cool.
But then sometimes there's feedback.
Well, you guys know, like, when you use social media, I always say that everybody's listening. It's just like a spy ship. That's a joke. It's just like an amphibious, you know, it's just like, you know, ride. Okay, yeah, that's what they're saying. They're saying, Vera, when you speak, that's when they kind of can't hear you. That's what Rochelle Moore said hello on Facebook Live, Vera. Rochelle Moore said hi. Okay, so let's go back to our interview because I'm really enjoying this. Well, first of all, Chief Petty Officer Freeman, how much more time do you have left before you can, you know, got to get back to work?
You talking about for today or for my contract?
No, for today, just right now because we don't want to overdo our interview, but we are so happy to have you on. And as much time as you have, that's how much time we'd like to have you on. How much more time do you have?
I think I can be on for another good 5 minutes before I have to start getting ready for work.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Wonderful. Now, without further ado, we're going to go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, do you have a question or a statement for Chief Petty Officer First Class Sash Freeman? Go right ahead, Professor Reams.
I have both. First of all, thank you. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your experience and serving and protecting us as you do, and also sharing what your future goals are. But I do have a question. What were the skill sets that you have developed in being in the military? The reason why I ask that is that my father was in the Navy for World War II. From there, he was able to get out and get into aerospace, where he worked for Lockheed and Raytheon and some of the other places, and then later on returned back to the Navy, working in the Naval Hospital because he had developed some administrative skill set so that he could be a hospital administrator for the Navy. So are there some key skill sets that you've gained since you've been in the service, and what would those be?
Oh, that's a great question. First of all, I thank your father for his service. He definitely did a lot more protective. There's definitely a lot of skills that the Navy specifically teaches you, just separate from your job. Like if you were an operations specialist and you wanted to get out of the Navy, you could become an air traffic controller, anything to do really with, like, computers. You can become a contractor for the Navy to work on, you know, electronics and everything like that that are inside ships and everything. But, of course, in the bigger scope of things, the Navy teaches you a whole lot. And, you know, there's, like, leadership opportunities that it teaches you, especially when you learn, when you begin to make rank. There's a lot of administrative ones, too. There's a lot of paperwork that goes into our job, you know. And, you know, being able to publicly speak, you know, because you're going to be working with a lot of people sometimes, and you're going to have meetings with those people and everything. And really, a lot of skills, really, that bigger jobs, you know, in the civilian world require of you. Just having military at all in your job application really makes you desirable to a lot of jobs. But at the same time, skills that it gives you are really unmatched to a lot of other jobs that in the civilian world that you can get. And I do really highly recommend, if you can, join France as a military to do it. Of course, I'm impartial to the Navy because it has taught me so much. I went in fresh out of high school and, you know, not really having a whole lot of applicable skills other than what high school teaches you, I definitely came out knowing a lot more through the Navy now than I did going in.
Oh, excellent. And thank you for the kind words to my father, but both of you are just fantastic because you did service and in your way, which has helped us all through the way. And since I also teach at a university, obviously as a professor, I always try to talk to, I call them my babies, on the opportunities they can have in the military, especially if they're getting their business degree and or their MBA, that, you know, they should consider going into, in some way, shape, or form, the services has another option for job opportunities. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I yield back to you, Pastor Johnson.
Thank you so much. Without further ado, we have a segment on our show called Mental Health in You. And none other than Aretha Adams-Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones. Everybody, please say good morning to Aretha Adams-Jones. Good morning, Aretha. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Aretha. And thank you all so much for your prayers on behalf of my family. Thank you so much, my nieces, in a horrible accident, and she's up in Palm Springs, so they're doing a lot better. But I want to thank you all so much for your prayers and the text messages and phone calls. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and we definitely kept you in prayer, and I pray to God that everyone's doing much, much better. We're so glad to have you on this morning. We know that you're extremely busy, but it's an honor and a pleasure beyond words to have you on the show this morning. And our special guest is Chief Petty Officer, First Class, Sash Freeman. So, Aretha, say hello to Petty Officer Freeman, and Petty Officer Freeman, please say hello to Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones.
Officer Freeman,
hello,
good
Dr.
morning. Welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is a blast.
God bless you.
Now, Aretha, do you have a question? I know you just came on, but do you have a question or a statement for Petty Officer Freeman before she goes?
I just have a quick comment, and God bless you for what you are doing. My heart goes out to vets. They give so much, and to me, sometimes they're not, you know, well, they are appreciated. I'm not going to say that they're not appreciated, but I just want you to know how much I appreciate what you are doing, what you stand for, and sure, you know, your commitment to our country. God bless you.
Sash, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much. It really makes it so much easier to do this job, especially being on a ship when I know that so many people appreciate what we do, you know, as our day-to-day job. It does become very stressful at times, and there are times that you're going to get down and everything, but looking at the bigger picture, knowing that so many people are appreciative of what we do really does make it worth it. And your kind words put it on my face, so thank you so much.
I apologize. Okay, so Sasha, I don't know if you can hear this or not, but I want you to hear something. Give me 1 second here. I'm gonna try to see if we can try to get this on for you, just for you. This is for you. Can you hear it?
Yes, I hear it.
Just for you.
Thank you.
Clarence, you know that song right there?
I think I'm having graduation flashbacks with that. You're right. With that song, yes, sir.
I just wanted to play that for you, Sash. Let's everybody give Petty Officer First Class Sash Freeman a big hand for being on our show this morning. Thank you so much for being on our show.
And for
really
my father, Kuya.
Yes. Now, Sash, I know you got to go and get ready to go in that room, but I got to ask you one more question. Now, the working in the radar room, detecting all kinds of stuff, with, you know, we had the balloons floating over from China. We had all kinds of stuff going on. How does it feel to have such a very, very important job protecting the United States of America? I just want to hear that in your own words. Go right ahead, Petty Officer Freeman. Take the floor.
Definitely a huge load to have on your shoulders, knowing that you are like the first line of defense, basically, in detection for this kind of stuff. But it really is, you know, the potatoes of your job, you know, and it's not every day that, you know, we get to do things that you see happen, you know, in like Battleship or anything like that, or like all these Navy movies that make it seem like it's super cool and fun all the time. It's like that maybe like a couple times out of the year. But really knowing realistically that we are here to defend, you know, the country that we live in and all the people, families and everybody that live in this country, it really does make the job worth it to know that these people are really appreciative of what we do. And you guys make it worth it. And
well, I know you got to go. Clarence M. Allen has one more question, and then we're going to get your closing remarks for whatever you want to say to your family and your friends. And go right ahead, Clarence. Take the floor. We just have a few seconds because you got to get ready for work. Go right ahead.
Yes. Once again, thank you for coming aboard this morning show. And when I served, we didn't have women on combat ships. Can you share with us, because we may have women on, and this show is also archived, we may have young women to come on who are not sure what their journey may be after high school and even college. Could you share with us your experience and your opinion on that? Now we have women on all naval vessels serving the front lines of our seas and oceans around the world. Can you share that experience that you had aboard serving with men aboard the USS Naval Fleet Ship?
Oh, of course. So this is actually a great question, because the ship that I was on, USS Pearl Harbor, is actually one of the few ships where we had a pretty even ratio of female to male. Both ships do have more male than female, but I was fortunate enough to be on a ship that was pretty much 50-50. And being able to work with men and women together, it really can be a dynamic at times. But really, like, you know, with any other job, you know, being a co-ed school and everything like that, working with males and females together, it doesn't really bring a lot of different perspectives into how to handle different problems and situations. And I do have to say that I don't really know what it would be like to work on a ship with only males. I can imagine it'd be very frustrating at times coming from, you know, a female perspective. But at the same time, working on a ship that was, like, all females, you know, that can also be just frustrating. So I know that having both come in and put in solutions to these different problems is a really nice luxury to have.
Wow, thank you so much. Now, we know you got to go, so thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, so Chief Petty Officer First Class Sash Freeman, give us your closing remarks. What is it that you want to tell everybody that you want them to know about yourself? Oh, by the way, the United States Space Force, I'm going to leave that right there, but the United States Space Force is always looking for good people like you. But give us your closing remarks, Petty Officer First Class Sash Freeman. Give us your closing remarks.
Of course. Like I was saying earlier, you guys definitely make this all worth it. You know, after coming home from a really long day and everything like that, and how I met Pastor Jones, coming home from work, it had been a really busy day, and I was really just worn out. And he thanked me for my service because we were at the grocery store. And I said, thank you. And he asked me for a moment of my time, and that's where we got to talking. And he was just telling me about, like, all these plans that he thinks I should do for my future and everything like that. And it really was just a breath of fresh air to know that, like, you know, even though this job is hard, it's stressful and everything like that, there are people out there that are fully supporting us with all of their being, you know, like wishing us good and everything like that, helping us out as much as they can. People that volunteer at military events and everything like that. You guys are the ones that really make it worth it. And if, you know, God's plan for me is to stay in for 20 years, I know that that's going to be a big part of it, is knowing that there's people out there that thank me for my service, you know, and everything. So, yeah, so that's really all I have is, you know, your guys' kind words really put a smile on my face and makes my heart smile. And I'm going to go into this day at work, you know, remembering all these questions and comments and everything that you guys have. And it's really just going to make my day, and it's probably going to make the rest of my week. So thank you guys so much for having me, and I had a really good time.
Wow, everybody. Let's give her one more big hand, everybody. Yeah, one more big hand. Well, First Class Chief Petty Officer Sash Freeman, please give your battalion commander our regards. Please give your general our regards. Please give your platoon leader our regards. And please keep up the fantastic, fabulous work that you do serving the United States Armed Forces in the Navy. We appreciate you. We are happy for you. And God has a big blessing in store for you. Keep up the great work. Have a wonderful, phenomenal day. And thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Thank you so much, Sash. Would you like to say anything else?
Pastor Jones, like I said, thank you so much for having me, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and same with your co-producers. Thank you so much, guys.
Everybody, say have a good day to Sash.
Have a good day.
All right, have a great day.
All right.
Have a wonderful day. God bless. Okay, you guys, that was a wonderful, phenomenal interview with someone in the Armed Forces, in the United States Armed Forces. That was First Class Petty Officer, First Class Sash Freeman. She did a wonderful interview. This is so important. Women serving in the military is a big, very important thing, and we should support our women in the armed forces who bring a lot to the table, who are serving on the front line just like the men. And we just, our heart goes out to, because some of them are not only working hard, but also taking care of a family and also taking care of themselves as they take care of their family and protect the United States of America. So we commend the women of the United States Armed Forces, the Navy, Army, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guards, military, and all of them. Okay, so with that being said, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We have a caller right here. Caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. All right, they're just listening to the show. Okay. Without further ado, I want to go right into our second topic because Our second topic is going to get it's serious, and every topic is serious, and it's important. Every topic is important. We can't let any topic that we do on our show, it's a reason for it. And just like we have to learn more about, you know, our women that are in the military doing a wonderful, fantastic job. But this one, this topic right here, our second topic is mental health and suicide statistics. Are the numbers growing? What is the solution to the real problem? Okay, I'm going to read that to you again. Our second topic is mental health and suicide statistics. Are the numbers growing? What is the solution to the real problem? We have a lot of people under the age of, from 30 under, committing suicide, and some of them having mental health issues. Just lost a couple of people. I just heard yesterday, you know, a young man shot his significant other, and he shot himself. And so our heart is going out to mental health and suicide today on our show. And we have a mental health specialist on our show who specializes in mental health issues. And without further ado, I would like for her to open up this subject of mental health and suicide statistics and give us some insight, why are the numbers growing and what is the solution to this real live problem. We all know somebody who has a mental illness. We just can't sweep it under the rug and pretend like it does not exist. I've lost good friends of mine, and I'm getting emotional. I mean, real good friends. And when I found out that they committed suicide, and I'm like, they had everything in the world to live for. But for some reason, that mental problem was overweighing the wonderfulness, the beauty of that person, and the clarity of that person and the spirit of that person. And so we want to get educated. Please, if you have a question, you can dial 646-787-8064 and press 1 if you have a question or a statement. If you want to say something on Facebook Live, you just, good morning, Gloria Majors, and welcome to the show. You can just type it into, if you have something you want to say on Facebook Live, just type it in there, it's okay, and we'll respond to it immediately. Okay, so without further ado, let's bring Aretha Adams-Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, please take the floor. Let's talk about mental health and suicide statistics. Go right ahead. We're talking about people 30 years old and under. A lot of young people that you don't hear about on the news are committing suicide, and they have these mental health issues that they're dealing with, and they're not getting the help that they need. So without further ado, go right ahead. Aretha Adams-Jones, take the floor. Share with us. Educate us.
Thank you so much, Pastor Eddie, and to you and the co-hosts. I'm happy to be back with you. Thanks again for the prayers.
Thank you for the prayers.
And I just want to start by saying I praise God for my blessings flow. I do, heavy morning. Because my 31, I think he's 30, 31. My cousin in Texas, my little cousin, but we called him my cousin, my first cousin's son, suffered from depression. I didn't know he had depression, but he completed suicide in February at the tender age of 30. I think he was 30. He would have been 31, I think, in December. So shortly after his 30th birthday, he took his life, and it's my understanding that he suffered from depression. And his parents knew that the depression was bad, but they didn't know it was as, you know, they said they didn't know it was they didn't know it was as bad as it was. They didn't know that he was, you know, it was that far out of control. And so his twin found him and he took his life living with his twin sister, and he took his life in her home. And so let me just it's really sad when I, and you know what, I'm receiving text messages have on, and they said it's a horrible echo, and sometimes when I have Facebook going in their phone, it causes an echo.
Okay. Let me see. Let me see something here. Okay. There's an echo. Let's see what we can do, because you know what, you're cutting in and out too, Aretha. I don't know if your phone is on speaker, but maybe you might want to take it off speaker, and let's see what we can do about the echo. Let's see if we can try to get that changed a little bit here. Let's.
Okay, it's off speaker now.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let's see. Okay. Can you hear me now? Aretha,
yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Can you try to speak a little bit louder there?
You know, let me see. Something's going. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try and, because it's really low now. I could. Wait. Hold on.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
Is
okay.
It better?
Yeah, but I hope it's not. Is it echoing?
Okay. She said there's no echo now.
Okay, great. Wonderful. That's what we wanted to get to. All right, go right ahead. Can everybody hear us loud and clear? If you can hear us loud and clear on Facebook Live, just put some hearts up. And if you can hear us on Blog Talk Radio, just say yes. And, you know, Professor, everybody, can you guys hear us okay?
Yes. So much better. So much better. No echo.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Vera. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Talana. Thank you, Clarence. Thank you, Professor Reams. Go right ahead. Aretha Adams-Jones, please take the floor. My heart goes out. And thank you, Rochelle. No more echoing. Okay, thank you. Go right ahead. My heart goes out, first of all, to your cousin. And then also the young man and who just took his life too. I mean, you know, we don't want that to happen, but go right ahead. What are the statistics right now for suicide and mental health with people under the age of 30? Could you give us that information, please?
Yeah, so according to Health Day News, and this is a recent study, so Health Day News put this out, and it says that in the last 10 years, the suicide rate has doubled with adolescents, right? And the adolescent age group is between like 10 to 18, and some studies add 19-year-olds to the adolescent group, but just say between ages of 10 and 19. The suicide rate has doubled in the last 10 years. And it's now the leading cause of death, for 13 and 14-year-olds in the United States. It's the leading cause of death. And yeah, it's the leading cause. And I was just looking, at the stats, the statistics, you know, by states. And I just want to give you the five highest, the states that have a five.
I apologize. Go right ahead.
That's okay. The five highest suicide deaths are in Colorado, New Mexico, Montana, South Dakota, and Alaska. So once again, Colorado, New Mexico, Montana, South Dakota, and Alaska. And I checked California. California is number 46, actually, on the list. California is 46 on the list. And I just want to say that, you know, one of the biggest reasons, that individuals complete suicide, a lot of it has to do with mental illness, whether it's, depression, just anxiety, stressors of life, you know, bipolar disorder, even schizophrenia, you know, where they're hearing voices telling them to do, you know, harmful things to themselves. And, and sometimes people just get tired of hearing those annoying voices, you know, and which is psychosis, a part of schizophrenia. So mental illness plays a big part in suicide, and you know, you say, well, how can we, you know, what can we do? What happens? And my mission in life, for the rest of my days in this earth, my mission is to talk about the stigma attached to mental illness. Because what happens, you have these people that are mentally ill, and they need help. They need services. They don't receive services. They don't receive support because a lot of people don't want to talk about mental health. Mental health awareness is rare in a lot of the churches. There are some churches that do talk about mental health awareness, but a lot of churches do not. And you have individuals go to church, they need help, they need support, and they don't receive it from the church. They don't receive it at home because of the stigma, and because it's such, they're such an embarrassment, you know, it's so embarrassing. So I think that, you know, if we continue to talk about mental health awareness and the importance of being treated, maybe people that are depressed will go out and seek treatment. And people that are schizophrenic and are hearing voices because of the psychotic issues that's going on, they will start taking medications, and they will, and you know, and pray, and they will be able to come out of this depression and this psychosis. But we need to talk about it and remove the stigma and let people pay the talk about, you know, being sad, or, you know, it's okay to talk about what you're dealing with. We all are dealing with something. Let's talk about it. I'm here to support you. And I know, as a mental health professional of more than 25 years, I know the benefits of, taking medication. Pray first. You pray without ceasing. That's what the Word of God tells us. But don't ignore treatment for the mental. If we can accept treatment for the physical, we should be able to encourage treatment for the mental. So I think the first step that we need to do is to start talking about it. Stop ignoring it. Stop telling people to snap out of their depression because you think it's too embarrassing to deal with. Stop doing that, because when you do that, your family and friends, your loved ones, do not feel that they can come to you. They're too embarrassed and ashamed of treatment, and they go into a state of hopelessness, and oftentimes it leads to suicide. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Wow. Let's give Dr. Rita a big hand for sharing that right there. Now, Dr. Rita, I'm not. Oh, well, first of all, thank you for that very important information. I want to read something that Sister Sonia Jones from the East Coast put on here. It says statistics are looking seriously high because people are opening, speaking up and out about it. Statistics are seemingly high because more are not being diagnosed and or being treated. Statistics are seemingly high because it depends on the person and their capabilities of addressing and handling their situation. Everyone's mental state is different, compound with it, hereditary. Would you like to say something to that? Aretha, would you like to address that, please?
Yeah, sure. Read the first part again, the first sentence that she said, and thank you so much for putting your notes, for adding your notes in the, I guess she put it in the chat. I don't have it up.
Yes.
But she said, what was the first part?
It says statistics are looking seriously high because people are opening and speaking up and out about it. Statistics are seemingly high because more are not being diagnosed and or being treated. Statistics are seemingly high because it depends on the person and their capabilities of addressing their issues and handling their situation. Everyone's mental state is different, compound with it being hereditary.
Right, and that's true. sleep right. I agree. Everyone's, oh, you know what? I just received another text. It said the echo is back.
Okay, I'm trying to get, I need to work on the, I'm saying apologize for the sound. Okay. That's kind of, okay. I'm working on that as we speak. Let's see. Let's see if we could do, okay, hold on a second. Let me see what I can do about this sound problem. But keep on talking. And while you're talking, we're going to see what we can do to change that.
Oh, you know what they said is when, you know what they said is when I speak. You know what I'm going to do? Is it echoing? Let me see. Let me take it off.
Wait, hold on. Let's see. Somebody said they can't. I just want. Okay. Can you guys hear okay? Can everybody hear okay? Go right ahead. Vera, are you there?
I hear
you
just fine.
Is it better now?
Okay.
We can hear no feedback.
Okay, yeah,
cool.
So everyone, that's true. People, you know, the severity of a person's mental illness, it's different. It's different. It's not the same. But you're right. People not being diagnosed. They're not being treated once again because they don't, because of the shame and the stigma. A lot of times they know something's going on. They're sad.
Mm-hmm.
They're depressed. And they don't want to go to the doctor because of the shame, because of the stigma. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. They're too embarrassed. So what they do, they suffer in shame. So that person is absolutely correct. They don't go out. They don't get diagnosed. They don't get treated. And it's so sad because there is treatment there. There's treatment for blood pressure. There's treatment for diabetes. There's treatment for heart disease and kidney disease. And guess what? There's treatment for mental illnesses. Let's talk about it.
Amen. I agree.
So, Pastor Jones, I have a question, if I may.
Yes, go right ahead, Professor. Go ahead, Professor Reese. Please take the floor.
Yes, Dr. Aretha, once again. Excellent. You mentioned that California is number 46 out of 50 states, which means that that's a little better, I mean, even though it's still happening. What do you attribute, are we putting in more money and talking about it within California, which makes us not the number one state, if I may say that? What are your thoughts?
You know what, that's a really good question. And when I was looking at the states, I looked at Alaska, and I said, you know, well, first of all, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but, and thank you, Professor, a lot of times in states where it's not as sunny, it's a little cloudy, lots of rain, the suicide rates are higher, and they tend to they say, well, you know what, when there's more rain and, you know, cloudy days, more depression sets in, believe it or not. When it's sunny, they said that people's attitudes are different. The sun is out, they have a different attitude. You know, they're the sun generates vitamin D, I want to say. I think it's vitamin D. Thank you so much. Yeah, so there's something about being in the sun, and it just generates, you know, those happy hormones. But they said, like, in places like, you know, like, I think Oregon is one of them, Washington, where it's a little, you know, it's cold and rainy, the suicide rate is higher.
Yes.
Suicide rate is higher. So I think that makes And you know what,
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Professor. That's a great question. I am going to call in from my other phone.
Okay. All right. No problem. Go right ahead. We'll wait. We'll wait for you. And while you're doing that, I just want to say to everybody listening to our show, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Our first guest that was on the show this morning was none other than First Class Chief Petty Officer Sash Freeman, who was in the United States Navy, and she gave us an inside look on understanding how women serve in the military, especially in the Navy, and it was a wonderful interview. If you missed it, thank God the show is archived, and, you know, the show is archived, and we can all, well, let's see here. Well, how did that happen? Okay, we are going to, let's see, how we, yeah. Okay, we, some kind of way we got somebody on, let's see, how in the world? Okay, so I don't know how that happened, but can you guys hear me okay? Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, Pastor Jones. Hello?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I got some kind of way. Let's see, I'm trying to, all right. Some kind of way we have an interference here, and I don't know how that happened, but. Yes, who?
Okay. Tanya Jones. Hello, everybody.
I'm sorry. Could you introduce yourself?
Tanya Jones.
Oh, how you doing, Tanya?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Yes, we can.
I'm walking and talking. I wanted to address that last comment about the statistics where California ranks. I had to chime in. Maybe he didn't mean, or maybe it came out not the way he meant it. But on the outside looking in, I took offense to it. It's like a competition. I took it like it was a competition. We're not number 50, but we're number 40. Mental health, by any means, it doesn't make a difference. I'm in the state of Delaware. If we rank number 4, that's still one too many people that need to be addressed versus California, who ranked 47. It came across to me like it was a competition because we're not number 50,
Well, Sister Sonia, let me say this. No, it wasn't any competition, so I don't want you to take that in the wrong way. She is just sharing. Aretha Adams Jones is a mental health specialist. That's the work that she does for. Let me finish my statement, please. What I was trying to say to you is I asked her to come on to share with people the statistics of different of mental health and suicide. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What would you like for people to know about mental health that you want people to know so we can, you know?
Words have meaning. They're powerful. How you project them is how some people may perceive them. So when you're saying, hey, well, we're not number 50, we're number 47, I took offense because I suffered from depression when my son was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately addressed it to myself and said, hey, I need help where there's other females that I know and some men who don't want to sit before somebody else, because here we go, still stuck in the 60s, 70s, where we want to hide it and sweep it under the rug, and it's like everything is okay because I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, it's humiliating. I don't want people to know my business, so we suffer in silence. But to say that I took offense, maybe somebody else did. But words have meaning, and it's not a competition. I get what he was saying, but it's how you projected it and how someone perceived it. So I'm pretty sure if I was one who perceived it one way, there has to be other people. Maybe no one decided to chime in or speak out loud about it, but I guarantee you, if one thinks one way, there are other people who feel the same way.
Okay, well, Sister Sonia, Sister Sonia.
Right.
Hello, Sister Sonia. First of all, let me thank you for coming on live all the way from Delaware to share that information. And let's graduate from that particular topic right there, here's what I want to ask you. Here's what I want to ask you. I'm looking for some solutions to the mental health suicide problem that is going on right now. Could you give us a solution to the problem that we're all dealing with when it comes to suicide? Let me finish the question. Mostly the people, this is happening to a lot of people under the age of 30, and that's becoming a big problem. So I want to ask you your personal opinion on what the solution can be for that problem.
So again, the comment that you read from my post pretty much addresses everyone. We have to start, someone first has to admit I have a problem. Some don't know because they've been in a mental state for so long that when you sit around a family, and we all have one, that always tends to call that cousin, oh, they're so crazy. We laugh and joke and think that is a joke when it's not. Maybe that person does have mental illness, but we laugh and joke about it to the point where that person is starting to doubt whether they have mental illness. Because everyone's laughing at me, so hey, maybe I may be the normal crazy person. There's no normal crazy person. Somebody has to acknowledge that maybe you have a problem. Okay, that starts with self. And if they won't acknowledge it, maybe they don't know they have a problem, then why don't somebody lead them, guide them, give them some information, connect them to some resources? But mental health and suicide, it depends on the person. What it is you can handle, I may not be able to handle. And maybe that's probably why I take the easy road, you call it, not the easy road, but I take the easy road out to kill myself because I can't handle the pressures called life. I lost my job, I lost my house, my boyfriend broke up with me, I'm so in love with her, she broke up with me, she's dating somebody else. These are teenagers and things that we have control over, some of our emotions, they don't. So a lot of them are experimenting with drugs. A lot of them are lacking something. They're lacking something.
Okay, well, hold that thought right there, Sister Jones. Without further ado, let's see. Sister Aretha, are you still with us?
I'm still with you. Is this better?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay. Yeah, Sister Tanya, I wanted to apologize if it came across that I was making a comparison. That wasn't the case at all. I was asked to give stats, and I was just going by state, and I wasn't saying that, California, we're number 46, we're not number one. I didn't mean it that way. And so if it came across, I do apologize. I've been a mental health professional for 25 years, and I do advocate for services for the mentally ill. I have a ministry, and I present workshops on suicide. I did not, and I'm so very sorry for, what you're dealing with. My condolences go out to you. I didn't mean it that way. So I do apologize here. My heart is heavy because my cousin, 30 years old, life, and I don't know if you guys remember when I first came to the line, I read a poem about my closest coworker who developed postpartum depression, and she took her life. So I wasn't trying to, I'm not trying to be insensitive here. I'm not trying to be insensitive, and I'm not trying to, I wasn't trying to make a comparison. So I do apologize. I was just trying to give stats.
No, Aretha, you were not being offensive to anyone. You were being educational to everyone in some kind of way. And I just want to say this to Tanya Jones, if she can still hear us. Call into the show. And if somebody doesn't mind, please type the number into the live for her to get to the show. The number is 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064, and we could talk to you on the phone. But we were in the middle of the live, and she just, kind of came in on the live. And, we weren't expecting her to come in on the live to say those things. But I'm just saying, as a disclaimer on the show, we never try to offend anyone on our show. Our show is about knowledge, wisdom, education, and sharing. No one is trying to hurt anybody's feelings or disregard anyone's expertise. Aretha Adams Jones is a mental health professional, and she has been a professional for quite many years. And so we appreciate her not only as a co-producer, not only as a guest on our show, but also as a very knowledgeable and well-educated person when it comes to mental health. So, you know, everybody can feel whatever you want to feel, but we share how we feel on the show, but we don't want to offend anyone on our show, and we're not into offending anybody on our show, especially our co-producer, Aretha Adams Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Aretha Adams Jones. And I just want to hear from a few people how they feel. And I want to go around the table and ask, does anybody feel that she was being offensive? I don't feel like she was being offensive at all. It all depends on how you disseminate the information that you're receiving, how you hear, how you take in the information. And we know that people have situations, like Sonya said, her son was murdered and it made her feel depressed. We understand. But that doesn't mean that the information that was given on our show today was meant to be offensive to anyone, and it wasn't. It's just how you disseminate, how you obtain, and how you receive. So we have to analyze and evaluate the words, because like she said, words have meaning. So the words that were coming out today was solutions and statistics to the reality of mental health. This is a reality. This is not a fake. Nothing on our show is, it's the real deal, Holyfield. There are no smoking guns. I'm going to start with Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, did you hear the truth coming from Aretha Adams Jones about a very serious problem, which is suicide statistics with our young people these days? Go right ahead, Brother Clarence.
Yes, first, let me just send our love and our sympathies out to our sister, Sonya Jones. We here at this radio show do not attempt to offend anybody. I have been in situations during my time on this show where if I said something, Pastor Eddie immediately put out a disclaimer. So we don't mean to offend you or nothing. Dr. Aretha Adams Jones is a beautiful child of God. She respects everyone for who they are and even who they are not. So we do apologize. Mm-hmm. And the information, if I can explain it this way, when she was giving out the statistics by state, was the studies from organizations and scientists per capita. And that per capita is like how many out of 100 or how many out of 1,000 in that state of population was this situation had occurred and is occurring, whether it is a decrease or an increase. It wasn't to intimidate or to disrespect,
right,
or to make anyone be put in a position where they are targeted. So once again, we applaud you for your statement, because it's very valid, and you are correct in everything you said about words and how we express ourselves. But Dr. Aretha Adams Jones is a dear child of God. She's just one person that I hold at a very high level of respect and loving and caring and dear in person. And she's a mental health specialist, but she was just putting out a statistic that she didn't write, but these are put out by scientists, doctors,
right,
and institutions when they come together and they get these stats from hospitals and from mental health institutions. So, Sister Sonya Jones, we love you, and don't feel or be any kind of way. Just receive it as information. As
Amen.
It's written by other scientists, professionals, and institutions.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you so much, Brother Clarence. With that being said, I want to go to Talana Jones. Talana
thank
Jones,
you.
You're welcome, Aretha. We're not, well, let me, because it's 10:29, I want to make sure we get this out. Talana Jones, how are you receiving what Aretha Adams Jones was sharing this morning about mental health statistics and suicide? Go right ahead, Talana.
Uh,
it's a very hard subject for me to swallow. I'm dealing with a family member who is having issues with mental health. So it does mm-hmm. have a bit of a – it raises questions for me because when you're in a situation where you're dealing with someone who does not have the mechanisms or coping to be able to say they have a problem, what happens then when you mm-hmm. seek out resources, you seek out the mental professionals to be able to give you that assistance, but there's no specific help in the system. And then, or mm-hmm. you don't have the right amount of money or insurance to be able to help this person or any lack thereof. You can be turned away simply just because you cannot identify with the fact that you have a mental problem. So it's not enforced mm-hmm.
but
at all.
Let me ask you a question.
I mean, here,
the statistics are
what they are. Yes, Dad.
Right, but Talana, here's the question. Here's the question. Did you feel that Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones was giving out pertinent, good information about the statistics of mental health and suicide? That's the question.
It is informational that we all need to know. Thank you, Dr. Aretha. It is necessary for us to have statistics. Absolutely. I'm not going to discredit that. What I'm saying is, Dad, is I just wonder, why do you think the statistics are the way they are?
Right. And I'm going to respond to that in just a second. Thank you, Talana. We wanted to get that from you. I'm going to respond to Talana's question. Why do I feel like the statistics are the way they are? Because the world is going through a traumatic change right now. There's a long time ago, mental health facilities were shut down by the government. The government mm-hmm. controls everything, the CDC, the FAA, the ATF, all these government agencies, they run all these facilities, including the medical field, including the pharmaceutical field, including everything, and they control who gets the help, how they get the help, and how much help do they get. And they circle out certain communities that live in certain zip codes. And like you said, Talana, which was a very important thing that you said, if you don't have a certain amount of insurance, or you do have insurance and it's not their kind of insurance, you could be getting a lack of more than what you need for the problem that's going on. That's why you give in, but you never give up. We keep fighting for justice and equality to get fair treatment. And this is the reason why we have a civil rights talk show, so we can talk about these type of issues that face our community, that face our people, and that face us each and every single day. Hold that thought. I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, do you feel that Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones was giving out pertinent statistics about the suicide and mental health problem for people under the age of 30 years old? Go right ahead, Vera. Take the floor.
Okay, Eddie, yes, I feel that whenever Dr. Aretha comes to the show, she is giving us all information that we definitely need. And I was just wondering if someone could type in the chat Dr. Aretha's information, One Third Ministry, Sound Minds and One Third Ministries, which is her weekly show that she shares, and with valuable information on mental health. We need to know what's going on in every single state, what's going on around the nation, what's going on around the world. And I took to heart the poem that Dr. Aretha has shared with us a couple of times. It would bring us all to tears, and we have nothing but love to share. So it hit home because the coworker and her family member, her cousin. And so we just want to make sure that we keep the knowledge and we share the love, because we also have a number, that 988 number, that we could go mm-hmm. to, or that someone may need to just hear. And we have to listen more. So I send out my love also to Miss Sonia Jones. But thank you, Dr. Aretha, for sharing this information, because we need to share it with others. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you.
With that being said, With that being said, before I go back to Aretha Adams-Jones, I want to go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Were we receiving good, pertinent information pertaining to mental illness and suicide statistics from Aretha Adams-Jones this morning? I felt that we were getting very good information, that we were getting very educational information that was helpful to us. Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Please take the floor.
Yes, Pastor Jones, I agree 100%. It was just excellent information because I was also doing my own research as well. And the one thing that comes of it is that Dr. Rita and I, we're both mental health professionals, basically, and we've talked about this over and over again. And the main frustration that has come up over the years, especially when I was telling her, sharing with her what was going on with my mother, we tried to educate and promote, especially when we had members of people that committed suicide and family members that are on the verge of, was the fact that we weren't putting enough attention, we weren't putting enough money and putting enough effort, especially since even in the university setting, that's also a prime area where we have to have prevention in that, because if a person gets a bad grade, that's going to ruin that. So the information was perfect because it was showing that, at least us out in the field, that things we were doing were right, that we were intervening as early as possible. And in light of the circumstances that were there, with the way that she went down with the stats, it was overjoyed that at least what we're doing is having an impact. Because now what you need to do is just call 988, or we have it built into our university where the moment that we hear a glimmer of that we jump on this immediately to prevent it from happening during campus overall. So we don't discover a body in the dorms or something happen outside of the classroom. So, but it is difficult. You know, Dr. Rita, you're not tired. You're tired at this point because of all the conviction you have to go through to keep every bit of Jesus in trying to keep that person from doing what they shouldn't do and making sure that they know that they are loved, cared for by the body of Christ by not doing something to harm them. And each and every day it can be very draining but rewarding, because at the end of the day, you've tried. You've done the best you can. So that was the basis of all of this, especially since you never know if you're having an impact or not until these stats come out. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Professor Reams. I want to say to you, from me directly to you, Aretha Adams-Jones, you are a wonderful asset to everything about our show. Mental health, we are working on breaking the stigma. We are working on talking about it. We are working on being about it. It's a work in progress. It just doesn't happen overnight. This is a gigantic, enormous problem that has taken over a lot, because now it's starting to be out in the public more and more, on TV more and more. Professional sports players are dealing with it, gymnastics, football, baseball, swimming. All these people are finally being able to say, I have a mental health issue, and I've been afraid to come out to talk about it because I don't want to be put down. And I understand Sister Sonia Jones' emotions, and my heart goes out to her. We love you. Everybody on the show loves you. But nobody on our show wants to offend anyone, and especially Aretha Adams-Jones. She just is not that person, and I just want to let everybody know that I stand behind her 100%, not only with her information, but with her heart. She has a heart of gold. She goes out there in the world, and she helps whoever she can under circumstances that we have no idea of. So we support her. We stand behind her. And right now, I just want everybody on the show to give her a big hand, a really big hand, hard, nice and loud so we can hear it, like that, a big hand. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
With that being said, I'm going to, it's 10:39. I'm going to turn it back over to Aretha. Aretha, just give us your heart feelings, and then we're going to go into the regular segment, and we will have mental health in you. So go right ahead and give us your remarks and how you feel.
Okay, my heart is really heavy. I never want to come across as offending anyone, especially when it comes to mental health awareness, removing the stigma, and suicide, because it just hits home. Like I said, well, Vera remembers the poem that I read about my dear friend that took her life. And I was just surprised that she felt that I was competing. I don't know how that came about, but I once again, I'm so sorry that it took it that way. Words do have a lot of power, and my heart again goes out to you, and I stand behind my ministry, this ministry that God gave me, that mental health matters. It's time to remove the stigma. It's time to, to talk to people and let people know that it's okay to tell someone when you're depressed or tell someone that you need help. It's okay to talk about it. We need to talk about it more. And that's what Sound Mind One Third Ministry is about. We are, I put it on the Facebook page. I'm not sure if you guys can see it. Sound Mind One Third Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the conference line every Thursday except the last Thursday of the month to take a mental health break. I even put my personal cell in the
on the Facebook
page. Yeah, so listen, I want to thank the Pastor Eddie, my dear friend, and his wife and the co-producers, the co-hosts. Thank you so much for the support. You all have always been supportive, and I appreciate you just supporting the mental health ministry. And again, I am so very sorry that it came out that way. I was just trying to give out some what I thought was helpful information. And I'm here if you need me. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. What's up, Brother Virgil Johnson? It's such an honor and a pleasure to see a Susan Miller Dorsey High School alumni on our show. I want to type in good morning to you, my brother. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so our first topic was about first class Chief Petty Officer Freeman, who came on our show this morning, who was on a ship called the USS Pearl Harbor. Our second topic, and she told us about women's working in the military and the armed forces, and it was a very interesting interview. You can always go back and watch the whole thing. All of our shows are archived. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Now we're talking about a more sensitive subject, which is called mental health and suicide statistics. Are the numbers growing? What is the solution to this real problem? And we're talking about people from the age of 30 and under that are committing suicide. Some of them are not only committing suicide, but killing their girlfriend along with them or killing whoever's there with them. And, some people go up and shoot up schools. Some people go shoot up whatever. This is a mental health issue that needs to be addressed. And so, with that being said, we had Aretha Adams-Jones on, who is a mental health professional, who was making it explanatory to us, the statistics. And, of course, someone from Delaware named Sonia Jones got offended because she lost her son to her son was murdered, and she said it caused her mental depression. And so, like Dr. Aretha said, we don't want to offend anyone on the show, but the statistics are important so that we can understand where the greater part of what's going on happens. And she said Seattle, Washington. Everybody knows it rains in Seattle, Washington all the time. That they have a large number of suicides that take place in Seattle, Washington. There's other places that she named, like Alaska and other parts around the United States, that has more people committing suicides in other states than others. But here's the whole elephant in the room. It's happening, and we want to break the stigma. of suicide amongst our young people. We want to save them before they hurt themselves and others. How do you do that? Number one, if you see some depression going on, stop the person and try to have a conversation with them. Find out what's wrong and how can they get some help? Because that's the biggest thing. How can they get some help? That's number one. And then don't forget to dial 988, okay? We're getting ready to go into our regular segments. It is 10:45, and this kind of spilled over because it's a very important subject matter. It's a very important topic, and we're not going to just stop here with mental health and statistics and suicide. No, we're going to do this again because we didn't get to spend the amount of time that we needed to continue to analyze and evaluate and share pertinent solutions to help people who are dealing with real-life problems. Mental health is a real-life situation, whether it's depression, whether it's bipolar syndrome, whether it's paranoid schizophrenia or whatever it might be, and whatever type of mental illness it is. We don't know, ACD or, you know, people, it's all kinds. And I'm going to tell you this. And back in the day, they just would take a person and lock them up in the back room. These days, people with mental issues are going to work. They're walking around your house. They're walking around your community. They're in your grocery stores and everywhere. So can we get away from it? No. What do? We face the reality of it. And with God's help and with mental health professionals, we will be able to nip this in the bud. And hopefully we'll get to a point to one day where we can slow down the suicide rates behind mental health issues. So with that being said, I'm going to close that chapter. We're going to reopen that chapter on our next show. We're going to take off again on this particular topic because this is something that we need to, you know, with a fine-tooth nail, we need to go through it and we need to get all the answers that we can on how to deal with mental health and suicide and the statistics that are the reality of the problem. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights because we all have rights. With that being said, without further ado, we're going to open up with Mental Health and You with Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones. Please take the floor. Give us Mental Health and You.
Okay. Aretha. Thanks again. I'm here. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much.
Okay.
So listen. Mental Health and You. Today is National Mutt Day. Mutt Day. Isn't that special? Dogs are special. And there are oodles of national and international holidays to prove it. But unlike most of our doggy days, National Mutt Day on July 31st focuses on the mixed breed dogs who sometimes get overlooked. This holiday inspires people to learn more about adopting one. National Mutt Day also brings attention to the many great mixed breed dogs in need of homes. In fact, they benefit from the spotlight so much that we celebrate mixed breed dogs not just once, but twice a year. On both July 31st and December the 2nd, they join us in celebrating all the mutts and mixed breed dogs that make our lives so great. Dogs can be a lot to handle, but research shows that responsibility helps your mental health, and mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Aretha Adams-Jones. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Aretha. We appreciate that.
Ooh, Dr.
Amen,
Aretha.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. With that being said, it is time for health and wellness. Health and wellness with Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V. Vera, please take the floor. Give us health and wellness.
Thank you, Eddie. But before I begin, I have a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. However, on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, I am Dr. Granny V, and today I want to speak about hypertension, which is also known as high blood pressure. You know, it is one of the most silent killers. Many may not feel the symptoms. However, some of the effects may take place immediately. So it's really important to be aware of your blood pressure.
And you can do so by make sure that you're getting your regular checkups. You can walk in for a nurse visit. You can own your own blood pressure cuff. And there is a difference between the diastolic. And guess what? The normal blood pressure is 120. If you're pre-hypertension, it's 120 over 39 or 80 over 100. And if it goes up to 140 to 159 over 92 and over 100, you have extremely high blood pressure. But most of the blood pressure can be controlled with medication, our lifestyle habits, and changes. And what causes high blood pressure? Sometimes it may be stress, more stress, and overstress. And depression is one of the items that I can mention, along with our salt intake and overweight, with no physical activity, also processed food and not enough vegetables or fruits. And many times it is the caffeinated drinks that may cause your blood pressure to rise. And some of the symptoms may be chest pain, shortness of breath, headache, fainting, heart palpitation, heart attack, kidney failure, loss of vision, stroke, nosebleed, dehydration, and your libido will be lowered. So guess what? It's a great idea, as I mentioned, to make sure that you record your vital signs and write down what you journal, what you ate, perhaps, and what you drank, and write down the time and the date so you can always look back. And keep your medication on hand in the event that you're traveling or you're outdoors, maybe at the park or beach. And sometimes what we have to do is invest more in self-care. And that means purchasing your blood pressure cuff and maintaining physical activity anywhere from 20 minutes and work your way on up to 60 minutes a couple of times per week. You can also lower it by doing yoga, just going with spirit, hiking, walking, and also get out in nature, and you can keep your chi flowing. And it's a great idea to work on stress management because we all can reduce stress. And I did advise to avoid the processed foods along with a lot of sugary snacks and diet soda, along with red meat. And in closing, I wanted to mention a couple of foods or maybe herbs or vitamins that you can add to your weekly diet. So it's best to eat high potassium foods like sweet potatoes, tomatoes, spinach, and mangoes. And some of the drinks may be, perhaps you could start with apple cider vinegar with water, a tablespoon. You can have lemon water and turmeric. However, speak to your doctor before taking turmeric because it may affect, contradict with your medication. Diametaceous earth is another one that helps to lower the blood pressure. And some of the foods, make yourself a couple of snacks and do some meal preps. You can have raisins, chard, nuts, seeds, fish, beans, avocado, the berry family, apricots, almonds, oranges, kiwi, cantaloupe, watermelon, and banana. And the herbs would be, how about having some cinnamon, ginger, garlic, motherwort, rosemary, barberry, hartthorn, black cohosh, and one of the best ones would be is fish oil or olive oil along with CoQ10. And with CoQ10, if you're one that is receiving chemotherapy or radiation, thank you for listening in today to Health and Wellness, because our health is definitely our wealth.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's give a big hand
Dr. Granny
B. for Health and Wellness. Thank you so much. That was very informative, very informative. Amen. And with
thank
that being said, That was really nice. Right now, we're going to go to Words of Wisdom, Words of Wisdom with Talana Jones. And, okay. Before we go there, we're going to do Words of Wisdom right now. Edie Way said, I noticed that sea salt will shoot my pressure up quick. I haven't cooked with salt for years. I just want to say that Himalayan salt is the best salt that won't make your blood pressure shoot straight up. Himalayan salt. Try that. Use it on a regular basis. It should not shoot your blood pressure up. Okay. With that being said, it's time for Words of Wisdom. Talana Jones, take the floor. Give us Words of Wisdom.
Thanks, Dad. Good morning, everybody, again, and welcome to Words of Wisdom. Today's Words of Wisdom I have entitled Knowledge, and I pray you enjoy.
No.
Knowledge without wisdom is like water in the sand. By wisdom, a house is built. Through understanding, wisdom is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Do not confine your children to your own learning. They were born in another time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Lord is the understanding. By a drop of wisdom, there is an ocean of gold. Character for us is like pregnancy. It cannot be hidden forever. We need to walk in the light. Our victory is in the Lord. I look to the hills from which my help comes. The best time to plant gems of wisdom was 20 years ago, and the best time now to plant the tree of life for wisdom is now. Wise men learn by other men's mistakes, and fools by their own mistake. When we have troubles, we need to take time to reflect with God and honor his wisdom. Do not be a fool, and despite instruction or wisdom, cherish your life forever. God bless you all, and thank you for listening to Words of Wisdom.
All right. Thank you for the Words of Wisdom. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well,
and without further ado, you don't want to miss the commentary, but right now it's time to regulate the manual with Clarence and Mallon. Please take the floor. Let's regulate the manual. The time is 10:57 a.m., and Clarence and Mallon, take the floor, regulate.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie, and thank you to all our listeners who come aboard this show and listen to it every day. I'm going to be continuing out of Here's Another Alert, which is an extension of the gangsters. Have you heard the phrase, it was beauty that killed the beast? This was said after King Kong had died in the movie Beauty and the Beast. Let's compare the situation to some real life game. The way things are heading in this world, it is not only up to the gangsters, but it will take every man, woman, and child on earth to take the necessary steps for the world to regulate. Just like it was not the beauty that killed the beast, it was a constant bombardment of the artillery from the military aircraft. Some of these very same things have happened in the world. It was not the gangster only who had their hands involved in the world recession. It was greed. Greed was guided most parts of the world into these predicaments. It was through the means of ways and means of greed that we all have reached these destinations. The fabric of America and its financial carpet has been snatched right out from up under the United States and the world. Listen to some of the very best, if you will. I am saying this gangster quick. Listen closely. I hope you do not miss a word. Hopefully you won't get lost in the woods. Many people are soon getting caught running around in the same circles each and every day. Who will be followed? In other words, who will be doing the following? Who is following whom? Could it all have started with the subterfuge? A subterfuge is a deception by artifice or stratagem in order to escape or evade. Maybe there were several deceptive devices or stratagems. These stratagems, they were communicative of artifices or tricks
using many times in war for deceiving and outwitting the enemy. There are many clever, contrived tricks and schemes for gaining those ends. These were some of the very worst skilled in the use of ruse and trickeries. Just think about what's going on today and what has happened and where we are at today. But you can only find this in the book of Regulator Manual, because this book is written and you are in here.
Amen, amen. Let's give it up for Clarence. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Clarence. What an amazing show we are having.
The Regulator.
An amazing show, amazing show. And with that being said, it's time for one of the most important parts of our show. Every part is important, but the commentary is important, too, because it's a review of everything that transpired. Without further ado, none other than our own professor, Professor Reams, please take the floor, take your time, and give us the commentary. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. It is always an honor for all of us to have our 15 minutes of fame. And once again, the commentary is nothing without everyone's contribution. So it's an so you have so much information, as I've shared before. This looks like a all scribbles and things like that. And somehow, in some way, I'm getting all the wonderful tidbits of wisdom that everyone provides for the show. So thank you, Pastor Jones, for our 15 minutes. I want to thank everyone. Thank you. A shout out to Cousin V. Thank you, Clarence Allen, for sharing the as your prophet, as a regulator. Thank you, Vera Jones, Dr. Granny V, for the health. Lana Jones knocked out of the ballpark as usual. Words of wisdom. A shout out to Melanie Aubrey and Dr. Arisa Adams Jones, Mental Health and You. Thank you for National Mud Day and reminding us of the love of our four-legged babies, as I call them. And then a shout-out to Linda Goldie and to our wonderful guest, Chief Petty Officer, First Class, Sasha Freeman. So here are the words that have come out on this day's show. The word is trickery. There's greed, depression, sickness, shaming. There's also the other aspects of mental illness and how the issues of depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, and anxiety comes up. And these are all the things that are occurring right in front of us in person. And as we try to work through this, as we try to think about it, and the biggest question that Pastor Jones asks is what can we do about it, all that happens is that we run into a bit of despair. And in doing so, it clouds our judgment on what are the real deal holy fields that we hear all the day of what's causing all this. And is there even a solution to prevent this in the present and in the future? And because of this, this is why the word of the week is so important, because the word is appreciation. And appreciation is the idea that you're very thankful to whom or whoever has provided something that has provided help in some way, shape, or form. So to be very thankful, to be appreciative, is simply a wonderful, wonderful gift that you give to those. So let's see what we're doing as far as solution after all these things that we've given. We had a wonderful guest of Sasha, Chief Petty Officer Sasha Freeman. And the thing that she's doing in the military that the show reminded us is service. And she said it is hard. It is difficult. But when there is appreciation, that makes her job much, much easier to endure, because she knows that what she's doing is helping all of us and that we thank her all the time for the service that she's given. And so that should certainly remind us of whatever we're doing, whatever service that we're providing, that the simple thank you is enough. But then we have the idea of greed, and we have the idea of trickery and all these other things in general, which kind of discards or corrupts that feeling that we get from just getting a simple thank you. So when we look at the sacrifices that everyone does make in the military service, it just stops and we get a chance to sit back and say thank you. The other thing that it also reminds us is the appreciation we have for the good Lord, because many times He's not asking for much. He's loving us unconditionally. But it's always good that we show appreciation and just say thank you. And as last week said, I have no complaints, because in doing so, he's going to continue to give, because it is grace and mercy, but it's also the right thing to do. So when we get to the issue of suicide, this is a very difficult issue to deal with, but it is much appreciated that we have services now and that we're not hiding in the shadows anymore, as Dr. Rita and I have experienced over the years, where we were the only ones in the room saying that this is a problem and folks were ignoring it because they just didn't want to deal with it. So there's denial. There's right. also the shaming that goes along. There is also the issue where this country has forced us that there should be a norm that everyone should fit into, and if you're not fitting into that, then you are not normal, which results in further humiliation, shaming, depression, anxiety. So in looking at this from the top level of appreciation, we're now at a point where we're talking about it, because as Dr. Rita reminds us, mental health matters. And that is the core part that leads to the symptom, which deals with suicide. And in talking about it, the moment that we begin communicating with each other about this being a problem, we are now at the next level of looking for a solution. So it is no one way will fit to resolve this issue. Each person is different, as Sister Sonia Jones has mentioned, and that we are now at a point where we're able to create a prevention for each person that is customized to what they're feeling. But the bottom line that it has to start with, as what Aretha Adams-Jones mentioned, was it starts first with prayer. Prayer right. first, and then reaching out to the person and seeing those signs. And the biggest thing that is happening is the person is asking for help, but they don't know how to communicate that. We have to see them. They have to know that we care about them and that we're not going to judge them for them to slink off into the corner and then one day in their life when we're not there. So in looking at the appreciation where we are now at a point where we're able to talk about it, and that's the first step. What we do with it, the good Lord is saying, is it's up to you, because all I can do is point this out. But for us, we can say, thank you, Lord. We appreciate you doing everything you can to point this out, because we need to meet you 50-50. We need to meet you halfway so that we right. can do the rest. And if we do that, the good Lord will appreciate us for appreciating him for the work that we're doing together. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Wow, let's give a big hand for the commentary. The commentary was, wow. Thank you so That's much for great. The commentary. Wow. Thank everyone. God bless you, Sister Rosalie Moody, Evangelist Rosalie Moody. Thank you. Wow. What a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful commentary. Everything on the show was good today. Again, we send our hearts out to Sister Sonia Jones. We send our heart out to Aretha Adams Jones. We send our heart out to Vera Jones, Clarence M. Allen, Talana Jones, because like Talana said, right now we're dealing with someone in our family who has a mental health issue, and we love all of our family members, no matter if they have a mental health issue or not. We love them all, and we need more resources to deal with the situations that we're all dealing with some kind of way. It affects each and every one of us. Our heart goes out to Professor Reams, to Cousin V, to Stephanetta Bingley, to Mrs. Aubrey, Melanie Aubrey, and everybody out there on Facebook Live, everybody out there. And I just want you to know something. And before we end our show, I want you to know that we are all just everyday people. So just before you go, Let this sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. We're everyday people. We're praying for each other. We're praying for one another. We're lifting each other up. You never know what someone's going through. Everyday people, y'all. I'm everyday people. You are too. I'm everyday people. Talk show where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Bless you all. Whatever you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. And remember, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself. So let there be no limit. God bless you all. Peace.